The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now, Brian Mooney has arrived. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
We want to talk to you about the CAO and the points and on offer and the courses that have become available.
Yeah.
There's good news, isn't there?
There's a lot of good news, Pat. You know, for the vast majority of students, you know, they're getting their top courses. And for, you know, a lot of them, over 80%, they're getting one of their top three courses. So it is a good news story. I mean, for the vast majority of students. You know, there are quirks in the system, but, you know, there are quirks.
Now, you've been writing about it in the Irish Times today,
and
you say that the minister adverted to it during the interview, that the addition of some 600 courses in various disciplines in healthcare particularly have made a difference.
Well, I was looking at the, you know, entry points for nursing when I was writing in the Times yesterday, and I noticed that, you know, the points had gone down along the West Coast, and they had gone up on the East Coast. And last year we introduced the new tertiary degree programs. The minister asked me to launch it. I was very pleased to do so, where students can apply for courses outside the CAO. And there are 75 nursing places in Donegal, Sligo and Mayo under this tertiary degree program. And I think there's a direct relationship between providing additional places through various means of entry and points easing within the
CAO. So why don't they do it in Dublin?
Exactly. So the tertiary degrees need to be expanded. There needs to be more courses, more places, etc. And the more we expand the system and apprenticeships and further education opportunities, it eases pressure right throughout the system.
You also say just what the doctor ordered, a drop in the points for medicine.
Yes, indeed. Because the additional places have been created. And again, as well as that, they've also negotiated, I think it's 20 or 25 places up in Queens for Irish students. And they have increased the number of places available to undergraduate students. Now, that actually may be partly simply funding more for Irish students and offering less for international students. It's all about money, ultimately, at the end of the day. The places are there. Ultimately, up to now, we have obviously prioritised international students in some
colleges. They pay big fees.
For big fees, exactly. So if we're going to cover those fees, they can be offered to students through the CAO. It's as simple as that.
Now, random selection. We've been talking about people who max out on their points and then they end up in a raffle.
Yeah. Look, Pat, random selection is a problem, but let's get this in context. There are two courses in the entire system that went to random at 625. Ec and Finance in UCD and Dentistry in Trinity, right? That's the only two courses in the entire country that went to random. Now, in 2022, there were 65 people at 625 for Ec and Finance. 50 got it in round one, and it was cleared in round two.
So they all got it in the end.
Yeah. In dentistry, it's a question of dentist chairs, and they actually say that to create an extra dental place is about $250,000. Again, it's back to money, but ultimately, we're talking about two courses. There are four courses at 613, which is basically the next points down. And of those four courses, again, you're probably talking maybe at max, maybe 100 students being caught by random selection. It is a problem for each one of those individual students.
It's an absolute problem. You do your best. You get great points.
Oh, yes.
Your family are ringing up and WhatsApp and you're saying, well done,
well done. 625 points.
And you don't get your place.
Now, here's the problem. The papers are originally corrected by the teachers and the grades they get are what they would have got 20 years ago, 10 years ago. Then they are adjusted upwards. What if you're the poor unfortunate who got 625 on the original correction? You're then joined by this group of people who are upped to meet you, and then you go out on random and they get a place. Now, that's unfair.
That's unfair because, I mean, you can't, when you're on max points, you don't get any uplift.
You can't.
That's the peak.
That's the peak. You know, it's like the water raising when you're trapped. There's nothing for your head.
But, I mean, the way this system works, they could give you putative points, couldn't they? They could raise you up. So you're a true 625er.
Yeah, exactly.
And they could put an asterisk by you.
In other words, that if it comes to random selection, you get it.
You get it anyway, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You're in there. Now, there are some points which have mysteriously gone down. CAO points requirement in Mary I in Limerick, DCU, Merino.
That's primary school teaching.
Yeah, primary school teaching.
As you and I know, the number of children being born has decreased and it's beginning to affect.
But our population is soaring. Immigrants coming in, having families.
Yes, but what I'm saying is the primary school numbers are on the way down, and demographically it looks as if they will be on the way down. I think students may be reading this and thinking, are there jobs in primary education? I'm not sure. I'm speculating.
So
when
the demand is what determines the points.
But absolutely.
So the demand for primary school teaching has gone down. But then they're hearing all the stories. How can you afford to live in Dublin?
Correct.
Accommodations. So they say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go for tech, where I will be able to afford to.
The one I really feel sorry for, and again, I write about it in the Times today, is the person who gets their dream course, accepts it online, arrives up in Dublin and is going around, and by next week cannot find anywhere to live or anywhere they can afford to live, and realise that they can't actually take up their course. That's really sad. And, obviously the government is talking about creating additional places, funding colleges to build accommodation on site, but it is a huge problem.
And then the accommodation on site is expensive.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Oh, no, this is not an easy solution, Pat. I mean, I half jestingly say, God be with the days of the bedsit, you know what I mean? But when I was in college, there were a lot of people living in crummy bedsits, but at least they had somewhere to sleep at night.
Yeah. And the other question is whether we've been innovative enough. For example, there are students who go to the Netherlands and will be living in shipping container accommodation designed for students, perfectly comfortable, air-conditioned, perfectly happy to do that. Why have we not been more creative in that regard? Because you can produce one of those, I'm told, for about 60 grand.
Yes.
Imagine being able to have a flat that only costs 60 grand compared to 400,000 or 500,000.
Yeah. No, we needed to be much more proactive in that. And to a large extent, we've left it to the market. And, you know, when it comes to student accommodation, we really do need to. And, there is space on many of these campuses to actually put those kind of container units. So,
And they are by definition limited in their life. You know, the shipping container, it lasts 30 years if you want it to, if you maintain it. But the point is, it should not be seen as a permanent solution.
No.
But it could get us over the hump for the next 10 years.
Oh, it could. Absolutely. Absolutely. We do need to address it, because there's no point in creating additional places if students cannot find somewhere to live or afford somewhere to live.
So whose responsibility would it be to do something like that? Would it be the departments? Would it be individual colleges who know they have a demand for accommodation? Well, maybe not even filling their courses because they don't have student accommodation available in their town or city.
Well, it would be a matter. I mean, you're talking about planning and you're talking about, you know, that whole system, and we all know how difficult that is. But at the end of the day, it would be a matter for the Minister for Higher and Further Education, but he would need to get funding from the Department of Finance to be able to provide universities with that kind of funding, or at least guarantee, you know, loans that the universities could take out themselves, provided they were state guaranteed.
Now, one of the suggestions from our listeners was, in terms of the competition for next year and the year after and the year after, where people will use Leaving Cert 2024 to compete against students who are losing the inflated grades advantage. One of the ideas from a listener was, well, why not, if you are bringing forward a Leaving Cert from 2024 or 2023 or whatever, that you get deflated in the competition. Now, I suspect taking points from someone might be legally challenged as well.
Well, okay. Think about this, Pat, for a second. I don't think anyone is ever going to take away the certified certificate that you get with your Leaving Cert.
So we're stuck with the inflated grades.
That you can put up on the wall.
Yeah.
But let's look at it this way. Every single paper for the last 3 years has been corrected in the normal way by the teachers. And then those grades have been adjusted upwards on a scale this year of 4 to 12%, averaging 7.5. Yeah. And they then have been your published grades, etc. What if in 2025 the papers will be corrected in the normal way and the inflated grades will be brought up, but not to the same level as this year? They're talking about maybe 5.5 on average. What if, for the purpose of the application process, those students from 2022, 2023 and 2024 who go and apply for a place have their grades reduced back to the original mark grade and then inflated to the exact same proportion as the 25 ones will be inflated to? They are all then on a level playing field. There can be no legal challenge to that because everyone is equal. You're not changing the cert on the wall. You're just changing a number in an application process for a specific process. How about that?
I asked the minister, was she talking to the CAO to ask them to give her a dig out to avoid legal challenge? And she didn't answer me directly. She waffled a bit and said, my officials are always talking to everybody, including the CAO.
My understanding, Pat, is that the department went to the universities. some time ago and asked them to work with them. And the university's attitude could have been summed up with, look, we didn't create the problem. It was created in 2020 when you had that blah, blah, blah. My understanding also is that the universities are looking to the department for over 300 million in additional funding, etc.
So there could be a quid pro quo here.
There was a meeting last week with the Taoiseach and the Minister for Further and Higher Education. It would not surprise me as after that meeting, a suggestion was made that possibly, you know, the universities might be a bit more flexible. And I was quite interested to hear on the news and Sunday, the outgoing president of Galway, Professor O'Hogarty, suggesting that the colleges might have to actually begin to look at working with the department to find a solution for this. Now, in there, Pat, I think we might find the solution in the coming months.
Now, the question is it a solution or would the solution have to be something that is, you know, algorithmically based? Because you can't go through all the results by hand.
No,
it's got to be machine.
But there's a machine based inside in the State Examination Commission, in which the original grades of every single student for this year, last year, the year before are all in the system. The amount of additional marks that each one got are in the system.
Have to design an algorithm.
All
that
you'd have to do is reduce everybody back to their original mark, decide what the enhancement is for 2025, and apply that enhancement to all applicants.
But you'd have to go back to the bell curve, because as you mentioned, some people got a 12% uplift and some people got a 4% uplift, the average being about 7%.
Yes.
But you'd have to give the person the appropriate uplift.
Oh absolutely.
Not just the average 5%.
Oh, no. You strip them back to their original, you apply the formula that you decide for 25, and you apply it to everybody. Sorted.
Okay, sorted. Very good. some questions. My daughter got 625 points. She had UCD Economics and Finance down as a number one choice, but there was a random allocation. She lost out.
That's one of the two I suggested.
Yeah. A suggestion, still not ideal, but much fairer. If there is to be random selection, why doesn't the CEO then rank the students by actual specific grades? For example, 91% or say 560 marks out of 600 per subject, add up the specific marks per subject and offer places in that order. In this way, places are allocated to the highest scoring students first. This would be more fair.
As you know, the way the system works, Pat, is that in the bowels of the CEO computer, every single course that you apply for gets a randomly generated number. If 10 of us arrive on the same point and there's 5 places, those 10 numbers are ranked in numerical order and the top 5 get it and the bottom 5 don't.
That's the raffle.
That's a raffle. That's how it works.
But I think that idea would be fair, that you get an asterisk. If you're a top dog, you get an asterisk and you go straight in.
Or as you said previously, go back to the people who got the mark originally, and as opposed to those who were enhanced to it, and do it that way.
Get them in first and then the rest of them who got enhanced, they have a raffle for the last few places. And my son got his first choice with low-ish points. He did better with the results than he expected, so his preference is now his fifth choice on the CAO. What should he do? Reject the first choice and hope he gets an offer further down the list, or accept it and try to switch within the 6 weeks? A very worried Dublin parent trying to help and advise.
Okay, you cannot get an offer of a course lower down your ranked list than the one you've been offered. If you have been offered, and I got a call from somebody about this yesterday, if you are offered your first choice, you cannot be offered anything else because the computer has wiped every record under your first choice.
Wow.
If you get your third choice, everything under the third choice is wiped. One and two remain live.
So you might get a promotion.
You can get a promotion, but it's impossible to get a demotion.
Okay.
The system cannot cope with it. It's designed so that if you get your third choice, your fourth to 10 disappears.
So the only option here would be to wait till next year and reorganize.
If you've got your first and you don't like it,
tough. So that's a good advice for people for next year's CAO choices.
Make sure they're in the order you actually want them, because if you get your best choice, that's what you have to take.
Yeah. So even if you think you're a no-hoper for choice number 5.
And there's one other thing, Pat. I get this question all the time. I got my third choice. I really want my first and second. If I accept my third, has it any effect on it? None whatsoever.
You'll still be offered.
You'll still be offered one and two if they become available, even if you accept 3 or don't accept 3.
The joys of the computer, able to do all this stuff. My nephew got 670 for the immersive software engineering in UL. Still didn't get in.
Well, that's because that course, obviously, it's 670. There has to be a component of a project or an assessment or whatever.
So he did really well.
He did really well. But the point is, you know, it could have been 600 marks for the assessment and 625. So 700, you know, you don't know.
Could you ask Brian if anything can be done for someone who got 400 points but got offered nothing because he messed up his CAO?
Okay, today the CAO will offer the vacant places from noon, and anybody can look at that, and they are courses which have still places on offer. In terms of...
So suppose the person that we heard earlier who really wants his fifth and has been offered his first,
if
the course is available on the available...
Oh, absolutely. If the course is listed on the available thing, you can then put the available course at the top of your list and then you'd get the offer. But what I would suggest to the person who's made a total mess and has the 400 points, go and look at your local further education college, and whether it's pre-arts, pre-law, pre-business, pre-science, pre-engineering, there are courses there which will, if you do well this year, will guarantee you an offer next year. So rather than sit on your 400, use your year proactively to go to a further education college and further enhance your skills in the area you're genuinely interested in.
And be really ready for
college. And be really ready for college.
My son got offered his first choice, but now he wants to do his second. How should he proceed?
Well, we've just talked.
Yeah, now here's my question. Suppose you decide, okay, the two are similar-ish,
yes,
you know, going to the same college, for example. Could you go in and then, before you have to pay your fees in full, go to the college authorities and say, look, I don't think I'm suited for this first choice. Any chance I can get into...
Okay, here's the way it actually works, Pat.
In practice.
The way it actually works in practice, the CAO have an agreement with all the colleges that any places that become available up to the end of the CAO application process, which is mid-October, have to be done through the CAO system. So whoever's next on the list on the CAO computer gets that place if it's available. After the second week in October, the CAO closes down for this year and goes on to next year. Things may happen in colleges. You know, people may be transferred once college gets full responsibility again. You know, I've heard of examples of people who may be attending lectures in a course that they're registered for something else, and then they transfer with the college's agreement later on in the year. I couldn't prove any of that, but, you know.
All right. Anyway, where there's life, there's hope. Brian, thank you very much for joining us. Brian Mooney, guidance counsellor, education columnist with the Irish Times.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.